We're thankful for the opportunity to come back for the finishing of the message on His countenance was altered. We're looking in Luke chapter number 9. It says, and as it came to pass, verse 28, about an 8 days after these sayings, He took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as He prayed, the fashion of His countenance was altered, and His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which was Moses and Elias. So that's Peter, John, James, Moses, Elias, and Jesus, who appeared in glory, that is, in a glorified state, and spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with Him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw His glory, and the two men that stood with Him. And it came to pass, as they departed from Him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for Thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. The Old Testament boys were receiving more revelation of the truth of this thing than these New Testament boys was, but they got rebuked. While he, Peter, thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. The majesty of God broke loose on them. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear Him. Don't make a big deal out of Moses or Elijah or anything else. And don't be saying you're going to make them equal to my Son by building them tabernacles equal to His. This is my beloved Son, hear Him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. God would not allow it to be manifest then. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, for you see and hear things that righteous men and kings desired to see and hear, but God wouldn't let them. But thanks be unto God, we're seeing things that have to do with the glory of Almighty God. Thank the Lord for that. So we see these things, and we see that there was a manifestation and a mentioning of His raiment was white and glistering. And we talked to you about filthy rag righteousness out of Isaiah 64. And we talked to you out of Jude 23 about the garment spotted by the flesh. Look at Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And He showed me Joshua the high priest. Not the Joshua that was with Moses, but Joshua the high priest in that day and age, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand pulled out of the fire? And we read you that in Jude 23, pulling them out of fire, despite the garment spotted with the flesh. Now, verse 3. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. In the Old Testament manifestation of this, the taking away of the filthy garments was a picture which symbolized the taking away of their iniquity. And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And I said, Let them set a fair mitre turban upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. So, dear soul, we see that the thing to get rid of Satan and to bring a greater presence of the Lord, and you can read on down through this, there's more revelation in this that would be a blessing to you, but the doing away with Satan standing there to resist God's man at that particular day and age was to change his garment. And the thing that would enhance him with the Lord was a change of garment which represented taking away thine iniquity. So this is what we are looking at and understanding. And we won't go to it, but you can study later in Leviticus chapter 13 where it deals with the man that has leprosy. In verses 47 and 52 of Leviticus 13, it talks about what to do with the garments of the man that have leprosy. They were to be burned with fire. So there had to be a dealing with those garments that were, as Jude 23 says, spotted by the flesh. The disease of leprosy had oozed through the skin and come into the garments. Had to be burned. And so we see that down through the ages, changing of the garments has to do with the taking away of iniquity. The man in the tombs, clothed and in his right mind. Not just in his right mind, but clothed and in his right mind. And the Church of the Living God, spoken of in Revelation 19 in verse number 8, unto her was given a linen garment, which is a picture of the righteousness of the saints. So we see that these are the things that we understand and see in this particular passage of Scripture. And it was a clothing of the Old Testament saints, the souls under the altar. They were under the redemptive work, but they had not yet had it applied to them. Their soul, Jesus Christ, accomplished redemption, but the Holy Spirit must apply that accomplished redemption to the individual hearts of his people. So Moses and Elijah were pressing into the kingdom. They wanted to know about one thing. Are you going to accomplish this decease? Are you going to fulfill this decease which you shall accomplish at Jerusalem, Luke 9:31. That's what they wanted to know. Like the souls under the altar crying, "Oh Lord, how long? We've been saved on a credit. God has taken care of us, but it hadn't been paid for yet. It has to be accomplished. Redemption needs to be accomplished." And we see in Revelation chapter 12, as we have referred to, and there was war in heaven in verse 7, Michael and his angels, speaking of Christ and his angels, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there any place found any more in heaven, in the heavenlies. We wrestled against those wicked things in heavenly places, in high places. And the great dragon was cast out. Who was that? The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This happened at the cross. John 12:31-33. We told you that. And verse 10 of Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, this is a heavenly enunciation, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The redemptive blood of the Lamb of God was now applied. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other fount I know. There's nothing that can cause you to have a cleansing of your sin and an overcoming of sin and Satan in the flesh except the blood of Jesus. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. It ain't talking about the moon and stars and so forth and outer space. It's talking about ye heavenlies. Those of you, Ephesians 2:6, who sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, now that redemption has been accomplished and now applied by the Holy Spirit, as seen in 3,000 getting saved in one day on the day of Pentecost. He said, rejoice, those of you that are spiritual, and ye that dwell in them, sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's you, the born-again believers. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, those carnal people who are enemies of the cross. They are religionists. They are church members, but they're not born again. They're not sitting in heavenly places. Woe unto them who are inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you. You read the first, the chapters 2 and 3 of the book of the Revelation, you'll find one church that had the seed of Satan in it. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So we understand and see that these are great things that are accomplished, and righteous garments are now given to the souls under the altar. They had been saved on a credit. The little boy after school had enjoyed the drink and the snack that he had, not thinking about his daddy out there in the woods watching out for snakes and poison ivy and being careful with those sharp two-headed axes not to cut his own foot off, and dealing with those old ornery mules that had to, with those chains, pull those logs out of the forest. But then his dad would come on Fridays to the country store where the boy had already enjoyed his snack during the week. The mother had already come, the wife of the man, and had got her groceries from the grocery store, and they had itemized it, detailed it, and she signed the ticket. And then Friday, here he comes and lays down his check and pays for it. Dear soul, we understand and thank God today for the payment that the Lord Jesus Christ made, that redemption is accomplished, that redemption is applied, that he has definitely paid it all and satisfied God the Father. How do you know that Jesus has satisfied God on your behalf? Because the Holy Ghost has come. Because the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit has now made application of the redemption that Jesus Christ hath made. Now, I want to read you some things. We read you in Revelation 6 about the souls under the altar. Now, go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, chapter number 1. And we thank God for this. He says in verse 7, the last two words are Jesus Christ. Verse 8, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen, ye love. We're enjoying our, as it were, R.C. Cola and Moon Pie. Dear soul, thank God ours has already been paid for. But thank God for what we have today. But we haven't actually seen physically the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen him by the eye of faith. Yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Listen, 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end, the fulfillment of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What is the full accomplishment of your faith? The salvation of your souls. Of which salvation? The prophets. Elijah represented the prophets. Have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. Searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when the Spirit of Christ testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. They understood Messiah was going to have to suffer. The man in the chariot, the Ethiopian, said he's reading about the man in Isaiah 53, despised and rejected of men. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Does the prophet speak of himself or someone else. And Philip joined himself into the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. Now listen, 1 Peter 1:12, unto whom it was revealed, unto the prophets, it was revealed, listen, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sit down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. That's a big verse. Let me break it down. Unto whom it was revealed to the prophets in the Old Testament that not unto themselves. That's why the souls in the fifth seal are crying, but yet they are under the altar. They have redemption's plan laid out for them. But it is yet to be applied to them as it is to us by the Holy Spirit, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, not unto the Old Testament prophets and those under the law, but unto us, those prophets, when they wrote about those things of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, they did minister the things which are now reported to you. By whom? By the gospel minister that are preached by them who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The Old Testament is to tell you that which is going to happen, not unto themselves. They're the souls under the altar crying, how long, O Lord, how long? And to satisfy them, God gives them a righteous garment, the linen garment, the righteousness of the saints. When does he do that? When Jesus Christ has made full atonement, he cries out that victory cry on the cross. It is finished. Redemption is accomplished. God is satisfied. The souls under the altar have now received their white robes. Moses and Elijah have come to me on the Mount of Transfiguration. When I revealed to those in the Old Testament and to Peter and John and James, to those in the New Testament, as I stood at that crossroads between the old economy and the new economy, that the answer to everybody's need is Jesus Christ. He taketh away the first covenant, that he may establish the second. And the Old Testament people are saved the same way you are saved, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved. Nobody in the Old Testament was saved by the keeping of the law, because nobody in the Old Testament fully kept the law. It was impossible. The only one who has fully and completely and absolutely and entirely kept the law is Jesus Christ. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thanks be unto God. We have a glorious Savior. So not unto themselves, but unto us that have these things reported to you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds. Be sober-minded. Think about these things. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Redemption is a resurrection. What is the condition of the sinner? He's dead in trespasses and sin. What does the sinner need? Life. So he's raised from the dead. Romans chapter 6, read it. It tells you that we're raised with Christ, and we're raised up with Christ. That's regeneration. That's redemption. That's being saved, if you want to have it. Now, because you have been raised from the dead spiritually, then you have hope for the grace that shall be brought to you at the end, when you really, actually, physically shall be raised from the dead physically. So my spiritual birth gives me an understanding of a spiritual birth, and my spiritual revelation gives me hope of a physical resurrection down at the end. That's what this verse is saying. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. You ain't received all the grace yet. Isn't that amazing? You haven't received all the grace yet. But there's a grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brethren, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. There's the best is yet to come. It has been done. You can thank God that you were not one of those who were saved on a credit in the Old Testament and crying under the altar. But God has brought you to the not unto Mount Zion, Paul said, but where lightning and thunder is and fear and all that anxiety at Mount Sinai. But you've been brought to Mount Calvary. You've been brought to Mount Zion. And God has brought you into the church of the firstborn and into the fellowship of Jesus Christ. And yet God is going to bring all of us together. And when he shall appear, then we shall appear with him in our glorified state. God is so good. God is so good. So the Old Testament, I clearly read you that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister these things. 1 Peter 1:12. Write it down. Remember it. Mark it in your Bible. Especially mark it in your heart. You have a more blessed hope than the souls under the altar did. Now they have been given white robes because Jesus has paid it all. That's the way that it is done. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 13. These all died in the faith. Who? Read it. Read all the various ones he's talking about. By faith, Abel, verse 4. By faith, Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Noah, verse 7. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, all of these all died in the faith. I'm reading Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off. How long, O Lord? I see them afar off. I believe it shall be, but I'm a soul under the altar. And we're persuaded of them. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them, they were so real they could hug their necks, as it were. They could hug these things. They embraced them. They took them to their hearts. And because of that, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims upon the earth. For they that say such things plainly say that they seek a country that is to come. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Hebrews 11, verse 39. And these all the Old Testament saints, all the souls under the altar in the fifth seal, Revelation 6. Listen, and these all, I'm reading Hebrews 11:39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. They ain't got them yet. To them, Messiah had not yet come. To them, redemption had not been accomplished. To them, Satan had not yet been cast out. To them, those with filthy garments had Satan standing on their right hand to hinder them. But thanks be to God, you live in the age where Jesus Christ has come. Satan has been cast out. Redemption has been accomplished, and the Holy Spirit has come to apply it to your heart. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promises. Watch it now. This verse is going to bless your heart. Listen. I'm reading Hebrews 11:40. God, having provided some better thing for us. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us, that they apart from us, should not be made perfect. They're having to wait till you are made perfect. They're the souls under the altar. Yes, they're under the promise of redemption. The altar represents redemption. The souls under the altar. God will provide for them what he said he would. But listen, I want to read it to you again. You're going to have to thump your head and say, is this really true? Is that Brother Rock? Yes, get your Bible out. Read it. Hebrews 11:40. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they apart from us should not be made perfect. David's a man after God's own heart. Isaiah was a great prophet of God. Jeremiah was too. There's some glorious people in the Old Testament. Abel and Noah and all of these. But God wouldn't let them have a fullness of applied redemption until he brought you in. And why are you taking your salvation so lightly? Why are you just thinking it's just religion? No, it's not. It's God having provided some better thing for you. That they, apart from us, do you think you're better than David, the psalmist, the man after God? I don't. I don't think I am. I don't mean you. I don't think I'm better than him. In some ways, I don't think I'm equal to him. Glorious people in the Old Testament. But God provided some better thing for you, New Testament believer, that they, apart from us, should not be made perfect. They're still crying and saying, how long? But until the redemption has been accomplished, they don't get the white garments like you have been given upon immediately upon your redemption, your salvation, upon your saving faith. Ain't God good? God is so good to us. So, what do we have? We have the person of Jesus of Nazareth. But we have more than that. We have the humanity of God Almighty. And he says, I want five of you, three in the New Testament and two in the Old. And the two from the Old, I want them to be the head of the law, representative of the law, Moses, and representative of the prophet, Elijah. I want them to gather together to me. That's what he was praying for while he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. He was praying that, Lord, you would let the inner glory of God, who I am, permeate not just through the flesh of the incarnate Son of God, that the angels could sing glory to God in the highest, but let it permeate through my garments. Because those souls under the altar need to be satisfied and quieted by us giving them white robes. Their garments are, quote, spotted by the flesh, Jude 23. But I want to have them understand and see that I will give them righteous garments like I did Joshua the high priest, as we read in Zechariah chapter 3. And God has told you in Revelation chapter 19 and verse number 8, that one of the wedding gifts that he gives to his bride is a linen garment. How cool and refreshing is a linen garment? It can breathe. It will keep you cool. It feels good on your skin. It is a glorious thing. Why? God would have linen to be invented and to be created in order to show you your righteousness and how good righteousness feels upon your soul. Righteousness feels good. I look in my rearview mirror, and there's a blue light come flying up behind me. And I look down and see that I'm not doing in excess of the speed limit. I ain't worried about it. And sure enough, whew, he passes by me and heads up there for that lawbreaker. Righteousness. It's cool. It's comforting. It brings you into the awareness of the love of God. You can't get righteousness from the church. You can't get righteousness from your Bible. You can't get righteousness by the law. You can't get righteousness by works which you have done. But righteousness comes from the imputed glory of Jesus Christ. He, God the Father, has made him, God the Son, to be sin for us in order that we might be made the righteousness of God. Not the morality of the religious, not the morality of the denominational, but the righteousness which is of God himself. Dear soul, if you're saved, and I trust you are, if you're born again, that righteousness, that linen garment, is so satisfying and cooling and so refreshing. Because, listen to me, it is the righteousness of God. I'm going to go a step further. That righteousness which is within the being of the truly born-again child of God, is every bit as righteous and glorious as the righteousness that's in the breast of Jesus Christ as he sits upon the throne at the right hand of the majesty on high. Don't say it's not, because it's the righteousness of God. He didn't save you just to make you a little bit better. We shall be like him. Let me drag it by you one more time. He, God the Father, shall see the travail of God the Son, and he shall make us the righteousness of God in him. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, in order that we might be made, watch it now, imputed our sin to him, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The imputation of my sin, placing my sin upon Christ's account. Is required, and it brings forth the imputation of his righteousness upon me. Imputation works two ways. My sin is imputed, that is, placed into the account of Jesus Christ. You got to pay for it. It's yours now. It was my sin. You knew no sin. You did no ungodliness ever. Perfect Son of God, but my sin is yours by imputation. How did that happen? I don't know. I don't know how God made Jesus to be sin for us. I don't know how that works, but I know God said he did it, and that's all I need to know. God made his son to be sin for us in order that, what was your purpose? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Dear soul, if you believe that your sin was put upon Christ, you got to receive the whole enchilada. Then you got to believe that his righteousness was put upon you. God didn't save you to keep you out of hell. God saved you to answer his son's prayer, that they may be one in us, Father, as I am one in you. What? Friend, I have a glorious gospel. It's bigger than I can preach. It's more than I can stand. Listen, that God would answer the son's prayer, Father, I will, that they may behold my glory, that they may be one in us as I, the Son, am one in you, Father. Dear soul, we ain't talking about joining the church. We ain't talking about becoming a Baptist. We ain't talking about morality. We're talking about the glory of God and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Come here, Moses. Come here, Elijah. Peter and John and James, come here. I want everybody, the heads of all of that which represent the work of God, old and new economy. Come here. I want to show you something. Woo. Brilliant glory. And unless you offend that glory and say, let's build tabernacles and stay here, God the Father will straighten you out and he'll say, watch your mouth, Peter. Stop talking. This is my beloved son. Hear him. But we heard Moses. I don't care. You're supposed to hear Christ through Moses. But we heard the prophets. Good. But you were not supposed to come to Elijah in admiration. You're supposed to come to Christ. Hear my son. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. Hear ye him. And don't talk anymore till you can get this straight. And they never told any man this until the Holy Ghost came and pinned it down so that you could read it and I could preach it best I can. Hopefully, wobbling on the axle, shaking, ignorant, unlearned, but giving it to you as best I can. That Jesus Christ came to make you to be the righteousness of God in him. Ain't God good? And again, in Hebrews chapter 1, God said, I want you to know something. I'm ending something now, and I'm beginning something else. Hebrews 1, God, who at separate revelations, sundry times, and in different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Prophets, you did good. But that ain't all I got to say. I want you to see the glory of my image. I want you to see the brightness of my glory. You're looking at a dim glory through the prophet. But I'm going to speak to you now through my son. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. And dear soul, I hope and pray with all my heart, honestly before God I do, that you have heard Jesus Christ today and not just this babbling old coot that stands before you. And that you will come to know that there's more to Jesus than just church attendance. There's more to Jesus than just morality. There's the righteousness of God. God would have himself brilliantly transcend his flesh and transcend his garments, that you might be made glorious in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will shine forth in the brightness of his glory as the stars shine in the firmament. God have mercy. I trust this has been a blessing to you, and I trust more than this, that it will open up to you more than anything I have said already, and it will prompt you to study and get into a deeper knowledge and revelation of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Bobby will come. You pray for him and with him as he comes to bring us a message in song. God bless you.
After being reminded of that, as the scripture said, let all the earth be silent. God's on his throne, and he told us the way it is. Let's go to Jesus.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing can for sins atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing good for I have done, nothing but your blood, Lord Jesus. You have shed your righteous blood. I know.